Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to another episode. This time around, we have another rendition of the Cloak and Dagger series. If you enjoy the series, please let me know through the comments on Spotify, my email, mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com, my social media, mysteryfreak, F-R-E-Q on Twitter, mysteryfrequency on Instagram, and Blue Sky. I've got a few things in the works with this podcast, so please stick around and let me know your feedback. And as always, the best way to help out the podcast is to follow, review, and rate, and share. And a big thank you to all those who already have. Now with all that, please enjoy the show.
Calling Chief Inspector West. Calling Chief Inspector West.
Stand by for West. A crime file based on John Creasy's novel, Battle for Inspector West. Dramatized for radio by Maurice Travers. Battle for Inspector West, starring Patrick Allen as Chief Inspector Roger West of Scotland Yard and Sarah Lawson as his wife Janet. Part 1. Honeymoon Spells Nightmare.
Belgravia 437. Yes, Mr. Michael Grant's apartment. What name shall I say? I'm sorry, sir, but unless I have your name, I'm afraid I...
Is that for me, Hayden?
Yes, sir, but the gentleman won't give his name.
Oh, won't he? Give me the phone. Hello? Grant speaking. Who's that? No, I do not. And I have a constitutional aversion to people who play funny beggars on the telephone, sir. Good grief. Hayden, that'll be all for the moment. Shut the door as you go out.
Very good, sir.
What? Yes, I'm still here. I didn't think you'd have the gall to come back to England, let alone phone me. Your congratulations? On what? Yes, I am. Yes, the wedding's the day after tomorrow. Now, if that's all you... What? Her father, you slimy little... Now, get this straight. I know all about her father, and it doesn't matter a damn to her or to me, understand? So if you so much as try any of your rotten... Yes, by the powers, I'm warning you. History won't repeat itself. Next time, I'll come with a gun. That's a promise. The swine. The vicious swine.
Roger! Breakfast! In the kettle. Roger!
Coming.
This minute, please. I'm dishing up. Oh, Roger! Oh,
right. Dan. Oh, smells good.
Sit you down.
Yes, ma'am. Where are the boys? Hey, Scoopy, fish!
No, they've already had breakfast. I let you sleep on a bit after the time you got home last night. Your sons are up in the playroom with that train set you gave them last Christmas. You may be Scotland Yard's youngest, smartest chief inspector, but that, if I may say so, Mr. West, was not one of your brighter notions.
We all make mistakes. I route the boys out, Jan. They'll be late.
Not if they can spin things out long enough so that Dad has to give them a lift in the car.
Oh, cunning young demons. Marvellous, isn't it? 11 and 10, and as crafty as they make them already.
Well, heredity, well out. After all, they've a copper for their father. Ready for tea?
Anytime you like.
Here you are. I've sugared it for you.
Oh, thanks.
I wish you didn't have to work so hard.
Well, it's no worse for me than any other copper. The motto of the force these days, overworked and understaffed, but we go marching on.
Yes, but even so, you've no need to drive yourself quite so much, darling. If what you're after is to finish up being the Yard's youngest assistant commissioner as well, there's still lots of time, surely. Sir Guy Chatworth can stay put in his office for a while yet, can't he?
As long as he likes. Oh, no, that's no job for me, Jan. I'm not cut out to be a desk-bound policeman. Any more tea in the pot?
Yes, of course. Yes, well, all the same, it wouldn't hurt you to take an hour off once in a while. Today, at lunchtime, for instance. It just so happens that I'm going to be in the West End. There's an exhibition of American paintings at the Markham Galleries. And I think it would be nice if you took me out for lunch. Roger.
Hmm?
I don't believe you're even listening.
That's a date.
What?
For lunch.
Oh! Well, talk about a girl having the wind taken out of her sails. Here was I, all set for a battle.
Meet me outside St. Catherine's Church, 12 o'clock. After that, we'll go on to lunch.
Lovely. What on earth will you be doing outside St. Catherine's? Don't tell me the vicar's had his fingers in the poor box.
Oh, nothing poor about the parishioners in that district, my dear girl. Now, I'll be there because, I'd like to take a look at a wedding.
You? Look at a wedding? What's come over you? It was as much as you could do to be in time for your own.
Well, it's a far cry from the marriage of an impecunious, newly appointed detective constable to the knot that's being tied at noon today for Michael Grant, Esquire, no less.
Michael Grant?
Mm. Son of the millionaire.
Sir Mortimer Grant?
That's right. The big business bigwig.
Oh.
A chairman of half a dozen huge companies, on the board of a dozen others.
Yes, of course. His name's always in the papers.
And young Grant hits the headlines nearly as often as his father in the same line of country. All off his own bat. They say he's well on the way to his own first million, and with no help from Dad.
Oh, really? And who's the lucky girl?
Her name's Christine Morley. Very pretty, by all accounts. About 10 years younger than he is.
And just why, precisely, are you so interested in this wedding?
Oh, call it, idle curiosity. And just what is that intended to mean, may I ask?
I've been married to you for 12 years, Chief Inspector West, and the day you do a thing like this out of purely idle curiosity...
What's the time? Good Lord, 8:30. I'll have to be off. And if those monsters of ours want to lift to the school, well, they'd better hurry. Scoopy, fish. Jan, love, in front of St. Catherine's at 12.
Right.
Martin, Richard, come on, you two. Downstairs and at the double.
Mind you pushing, if you please.
No, sorry, I'm looking for someone.
Oh, listen, they're coming.
Jan, over here, Jan.
Excuse me. Do you mind if I get through? Oh, Roger, I'm sorry. I'm not too late, am I?
No, all's well.
Oh, there they are. Oh, look, there they are. Oh,
Roger. She's a lot more than pretty. She's beautiful, a perfectly lovely bride. And no wonder she looks radiant. He's a very handsome man. Roger, you're not looking. What on earth are you staring at?
By the door of the church, Jan. Just behind all the photographers. The chap in the shabby grey suit.
With the hat down over his eyes?
I wondered if he'd show up here.
Why? Who is he?
Arthur Morley, father of the bride.
Her father? Oh, look. There they go, into the car.
And he's gone, too. Disappeared in the crowd.
Yes, but Roger, look, what on
I'll
earth
I'll tell you
he...
over lunch. Come on. It was... Oh, yes, well over 13 years ago. I was still a new boy at the yard, but I remember it. And this should interest you. Arthur Morley was a painter of sorts, portraits mostly.
Yes, but Roger, why was he skulking outside the church? Her own father, why wasn't he...
Giving the bride away.
Yes. Mm.
Good reason, Jan. He's just out of prison. A little over a month ago.
Oh.
Have another glass of wine. It's not bad, is it?
What was he in for?
For murder.
Murder?
He was sentenced to death for strangling his wife.
Roger.
Oh, careful. You nearly knocked that glass over.
His own wife?
Yes.
Why did he do it?
There was a quarrel over another man. The trial was a short one. The prosecution proved Morley was unreasonably jealous and with no justification. But he got a reprieve. They commuted the sentence.
And now he's out. 13 years. When it happened, the girl must have been just a child.
About 10.
Same age as Scoopy. What became of her?
As I remember, she went to some distant relatives. And judging by the look of her today, I'd say there are no lifelong scars there or anything of that sort. Wouldn't you, Jan?
Well, she certainly looked happy enough. I hope she is. Really happy. If anyone deserves it, she does. After all that.
Michael?
Yes, darling?
Let's not bother with the car radio, shall we?
Anything you say, Mrs. Grant.
Mrs. Grant. Mrs. Michael Grant. Darling, are you planning to drive all the way to Devon non-stop?
Of course not.
Then where are we staying the night?
You'll find out.
Tell me.
Wait and see, Chris.
No, I won't wait.
Chris!
Oh, I hate unexpected things. Surprises and all that sort of nonsense. I got over that once and for all. When I was still a child.
Sweetheart, I'm sorry. I should have remembered.
Then tell me where we're making for.
Into the wilds of darkest Dorset. I've chosen the place specially. I came across it years ago, and I've always meant to go back. It's called Uplands. A country hotel, but it's more like a club. Tennis courts, swimming pool, the lot, and all miles from anywhere.
It sounds lovely. Hey, Michael, watch out!
The damn fool! What does he think? He can't pass on this bend. It's... My God!
Oh, Michael, be careful!
It's all right, Chris.
Oh, you just missed the hedge by inches.
Sorry.
Oh. Michael, did you notice the man in the back?
Yes, I saw him.
Turned and looked at us. He was smiling. But such a strange smile. Well, I know it sounds silly, but it was quite frightening. Or perhaps it was the dog sitting beside him. Did you see it?
No.
Michael, it was the biggest Alsatian I've ever laid eyes on. What are you doing?
We're taking a shortcut.
Oh, you might warn me next time you decide to make a sharp turn like that.
Sorry, sweetheart. I just thought it'd be a nicer run through the lanes, and it'll save some mileage. Besides, I could do with a drink. So the sooner we reach our destination, the better.
The Chief Inspector West. Well, well, it's been quite some time, Pearlie. Huh? Oh, come off it, old lad. I couldn't mistake that whiskified old voice of yours if I was half deaf. There's something I can do for you. Oh, the other way around, eh? Right, I'm listening. Pearlie, is that straight up, 22 carat? Yes, of course I believe you. So he's back in England, is he? You're right, Pearlie, I am interested in anything and everything about that gentleman. What's that? Young Grant? I shouldn't think so. After what happened before, I don't see Mr. Grant coming to us for protection or anything else. Oh, keep your ears flapping, Pearlie, and see what else they pick up. Good man. Bye now. West here. I'd like to see the Assistant Commissioner as soon as possible. When will he be free? All right. Yes, I'll be in my office for the rest of the day.
Well, Mrs. Michael Grant, this is it. The bridal chamber. Every modern comfort, as madam can see. Now, that's the bathroom, the door in the corner. It's a shared bathroom, actually. It connects through to the room next to this. But just to ensure our privacy, I've taken both rooms.
No expense spared. I knew what I was about, didn't I? Marrying a big businessman. Oh, what time do they start serving dinner here?
Oh, 7 o'clock onwards.
Oh, marvellous. Lots of time for me to unpack.
We shall unpack. I insist on sharing all the chores. I'll open the bags and you can hang up the things.
You call that sharing? Well, let's see how much room there is in this wardrobe.
Chris, darling, what in the world?
The face. Look in there, the face.
What? Oh, Chris, it's just a party mask on a hanger.
But it's his face. Don't you see that man in the car with the dog? Even the smile. The same smile.
By thunder. A painted mask. Painted specially. And a damn professional job.
Oh, Michael, what does it mean? What does it mean?
A swine.
You know what it means. You must know. I've never seen that face in my life till today.
Sweetheart, you're shaking. Come and sit down.
Oh, Michael, answer me. You know that man, don't you?
Yes, Chris. I know him.
Who is he?
His name is Kerosian.
Yes, sir. Kerosian.
Back in England? Sure, Roger.
According to Pearlie Willis, when it comes to that sort of information, I've yet to have Pearlie let me down.
Shut that damn window, will you?
Yes, sir.
There are times behind this desk, Roger, when I feel like tossing the job of assistant commissioner straight back into the Home Secretary's lap. This is one of them.
I want him, sir. I want to get Kerosian.
Sit down and relax, Roger.
I'm not in a relaxing mood, sir. For years, he's had his hands in every kind of vice and crime. Nothing has been too low or too dirty for him to get mixed up in. We've always known it, and we've never been able to do a thing about it.
Not for want of trying, you know.
Oh, of course we've tried. And what good's it been? We've set traps enough time and again, and he's slipped through them all, every one of them.
What's brought him back to England? The grant business, you think?
Could be. But I doubt if that's the only reason.
Well, why not? If it hadn't been for young Grant, Kerosian wouldn't have cleared out of the country at all.
Admittedly. But look at the facts, sir. Kerosian was blackmailing Sir Mortimer Grant. We don't know why and probably never will now. The old boy wouldn't come to the police, but he told his son. So young Grant goes off on his own, breaks into Kerosian's Mayfair apartment, leaves the place looking as if a tornado had hit it, and gets away with whatever it was Kerosian had on his father.
Yes, and some other incriminating stuff along with it, obviously. Hence Kerosian's hasty departure. He was scared young Grant might give us the evidence to send him up for a nice long stretch.
But Grant didn't give it to us, did he?
And now Kerosian comes back.
And not just to get Grant. There has to be more to it than that, sir. Look, we know Kerosian's kept on operating here by remote control, as it were. Why bother to come back at all unless there's more behind it? A lot more, if you ask me.
Such as what, for instance?
Oh, I wish I knew. I wish there was even an inkling. What I'd like at this stage is a chat with Mr. Michael Grant. But since he's on his honeymoon, we'll just have to wait.
Waiting isn't always a bad thing, Roger. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Paul, Epistle to the Hebrews, if I remember correctly.
And that's about it, Chris. I burned everything I found in Kerosian's flat, including the stuff he was using to blackmail my father. But of course, Kerosian doesn't know I burned it.
We've been left quite a legacy, haven't we? Our fathers.
Darling.
Oh, it's all right. I don't mind talking about it. Whatever your father did, he could hardly have a worse past than mine. You just told me Kerosian tried to blackmail you about it before our wedding.
I shouldn't have told you that.
Now, don't be silly. Darling, if we're going to have secrets from each other, what's the point of it all?
Well, there's no point in staying here any longer. That's quite certain. These bags can go back in the car, and so do we. We're getting out, Chris. Now.
Michael.
I brought you here to Uplands because after that phone call, I was absolutely certain Kerosian wouldn't know about this place. Well, he's proved me wrong, hasn't he?
So we run away. Michael, that's no way for us to begin by running. I won't let you do it, darling.
Chris.
Come here. Closer. Darling, nothing's going to spoil this honeymoon. I promise you that. And that was just a sample. Now, you finish your drink. And then while I get into one of my brand new dresses for dinner, you can take a stroll in the grounds and check up on what this Uplands of yours has to offer.
I beg your pardon?
What the devil you...
Oh, no, not the devil, my dear sir. Hardly in such tranquil surroundings. I must apologize if I startled you. I only meant to trouble you for a light, if that were possible.
Oh, certainly.
Thank you. A charming spot, Upton's, don't you agree?
I certainly do, though I've only just arrived here.
Really? Mm-hmm. But so have I, Mr...
Michael Grant.
My name is Prendergast. Yes, Mr. Grant, this place is a positive haven. Rural beauty and serenity. Where one can escape completely from the strife and the turmoil of the outside world. Leaving behind the vortex of violence. You know, I never really feel safe these days. Do you?
Oh, yes, quite often.
Then you're a very fortunate man, Mr. Grant. Personally, I find the present state of the world creates an atmosphere of never-ending anxiety and concern. Even danger. Personal danger.
Aren't you exaggerating, Mr. Prendergast?
Am I? Perhaps. Perhaps. It may have become something of an obsession with me. I see violence and danger everywhere one turns.
Mm.
It may, of course, have something to do with one's occupation. In my case, the placid nature of my work seems only to highlight the violence and insecurity all around one.
And what is your work?
Oh, I'm an artist, Mr. Grant. I paint.
Do you know?
Usually portraits. But I'm hoping to try my hand at some landscapes while I'm here. Well, I must be getting back. Thank you for a most delightful chat, Mr. Grant. A most agreeable encounter. I'll say au revoir.
Goodbye, Mr. Prendergast. So you paint, do you? And usually portraits. More wine, Chris?
Not another drop. And that was a wonderful dinner. Michael, what's next on the program?
Well, there'll be dancing if you feel like it. Or we might take a short stroll in the moonlight.
That sounds perfect. And it's a beautiful evening by the look of it.
Right. Then we'll finish our coffee and... I say, I wonder if that young couple at the next table have the same idea. See? They're just leaving. Hand in hand.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Johnny presents the Philip Morris Crime Doctor. Here comes Johnny, ladies and gentlemen, in his red coat and brass button. Johnny is jumping out of store windows and counters all over America to introduce the Philip Morris Crime Doctor program to all you people at home, as well as our men and women in service, wherever this program reaches them.
Oh,
And now another of Max Morrison's Crime Doctor dramas, brought to you by the makers of Philip Morris cigarettes.
Hello, Phil. Glad I found you home.
Oh, come on in, Herb.
Hiya, Lillian.
Hello, Herb. How's tricks?
Oh, not so good. People don't believe it no more when you tell them you're hungry and ask them for a dime for a cup of coffee. All you get nowadays is a husky guy like you ought to be ashamed of himself panhandling. There's plenty of work in the war plants. That's what they tell you.
Ain't so good with us neither. Here's your love.
I've been telling you right along, Phil. There's something wrong with a town when you can't walk into a store without being followed around by the dicks.
You wouldn't believe it, Herb, how me and Lil worked the stores all day today without picking up a single item.
He's telling you the truth, Herb. So if you came here to make a touch...
No, Lil. I don't want to make a touch for no dough. I thought maybe I could borrow something else.
What?
You and Phil keep a gun in the house, don't you?
Yeah. Me and Lil's each got a gun.
Would you lend me one of them?
Well, what do you want to do with it?
Use it?
Hey, if you're thinking of tying a stick
up...
No,
I ain't going to stick nobody up.
Well, then what do you want a gun for?
I'm going to kill a guy.
Not with our gun, you're not. Me and Phil ain't letting ourselves get in that kind of a jam.
Oh, you're a sucker, too, Herb. You get yourself into a mighty jam.
Look, Phil, I've been waiting for this chance. 5 years I've been waiting for it.
5 years? It's a long time to carry a grudge.
Yeah? You'd carry it, too, all the rest of your life if somebody did to you what I had done to me.
Must have been awful dirty.
Was there a girl mixed up in it?
Yeah, sure was.
Heh, wouldn't you know it?
Pulled a pretty good job at a pal of mine, Eddie Brookleaf. Swell Peter man. The way the safe wasn't made, he couldn't get in it. We made a pretty good haul, and we got away clean. That's what I thought. 3 days after we pulled the job, I was walking along the street.
Hello, Herb. What's your hurry?
What do you want, copper?
The inspector wants to see you down at headquarters.
What for?
Don't ask me. My instructions were to pick you up and bring you in.
Now, wait a minute. They got nothing on me. I ain't done nothing.
Come along, Herb. Don't make any trouble.
You're just going to see my girl. You let me telephone her, couldn't you?
No, I couldn't.
Have a heart, will you, copper? It's her birthday today. I was just going to that flower shop over there to send her some flowers. Look, you can come in with me while I buy them. Come on, will you?
Okay. I'll go in with you.
Look, Inspector, I told you over and over and over again, you got the wrong guy. I was on my way to see my girl.
Yes, sure, Herb, I know. And you stopped off to send her a dozen white roses. When my men went to her house to ask her about them, she'd cleared out. Now maybe you'll tell me the flowers weren't a signal for her to beat it.
They was for her birthday, that's all.
All right. Was she in on that safe job with you?
Look, I told you, Inspector.
Now listen, Herb, you'll make it a lot easier for yourself if you'll tell me who pulled the job with you.
I didn't pull the job, Inspector. I don't know nothing about it.
And maybe you'll tell me also that you don't know how your fingerprints came to be found on the windowsill of the room where the safe was.
All I know, Inspector, is that I'm innocent.
Okay. You can tell it to the judge.
"15 minutes is all you can have with the prisoner. That's a prison rule.
Gee, Herb, that judge certainly threw the book at you.
Yeah?
5 to 10 years.
Oh, it's okay, Claire. Well, with time off for good behavior, I'll be out in 3 years and 4 months. I could have got off with a lighter sentence if I'd peached on Eddie, but...
Yes, I know. They had me down at headquarters for 6 hours. They let me go because they had nothing on me.
Claire, you going to wait for me?
I'll be waiting for you, Herb, even if you served all the 10 years.
Okay, honey. It was a lucky break for me that I left most of my share of the dough from the last job with Eddie, huh?
He sent me $5,000.
Yeah.
I spent 2 for your trial. I got 3 left.
Okay, keep it. Let Eddie mind the rest for me till I come out.
I sent the $3,000 I had left back to Eddie, too. I'm going to work while you're away, Herb. Pulling jobs won't be so easy for you after you come out. You'll be on parole and have to report what you're doing.
Yeah, the girl was right. Just letting a guy out of parole ain't what it's cracked up to be. One wrong move and you're back in the clink.
What I want to know, Herb, was the girl waiting for you when you came out?
Yeah, Lil. She was right there at the big house when the gate opened for me.
Gee. I know a lot of guys who thought their girls would wait for them. You're the first one I know who found her there.
I knew she'd be there, Phil. She never missed one visitor's day to come up and see me. Going back to the small town where she come from, went to live with a married brother. I wanted to come to the city with me and get married, but no, she insisted that I go to the hometown with her. Not till I'd gotten on the train with her and we were riding along did she tell me why.
Don't you see, Herb? I don't want you to go back to the city in the old life. Now, nobody knows you where I come from, and you can start all over again.
Well, your brother knows me. What's he going to say?
I promised him we wouldn't get married till he had a talk with you.
Now, look, Claire. The first thing I got to do is see Eddie and get the money he's keeping for me. $38,000. That's enough to give us a new start.
Herb, we're not going to start with that money.
Why not?
I hate to tell you this on your first day out, but I haven't heard from Eddie since the day I gave him the $3,000 I had left over.
Well, you know where he is, don't you?
No, I don't. He said he'd keep in touch with me, but he hasn't.
Hey, wait a minute. You mean he skipped with my dough?
I don't know what to make of it. Gee, I thought he was the one person you could trust.
Well, haven't you tried to locate him?
I tried, all right. None of the old crowd has heard a word from him.
Oh. So that's how it is, huh? Well, if Eddie thinks he can pull a stunt like that on me, he's crazy. I'm going to find that guy, Claire. Yeah, it's the last thing I ever do. Well, hello, Sam. I was just going over to your house to see Claire.
Yeah, I know. Herb, I came over here to have a talk with you before you see my sister again.
Okay, come in.
I'll give it to you straight, Herb. I've been talking to Claire. I've been trying to stop her from wrecking her life by marrying you.
Claire knows what she's doing. Besides, what business is it of yours?
I'm a brother, Herb. Anything she does reflects on me and my kids. If you have an ounce of decency left in you, you'd help me show Claire what a mistake she's made.
Claire and I love each other.
Herb, if I loved a girl and I was in your position, I'd want to give her a break. I wouldn't ask her to go through life with me at any rate till I make good.
I'm going to make good.
You've been out 3 weeks now. What have you been doing?
Well, I got a little matter to attend to. Somebody I got to find.
Yeah, Claire told me all about it. Suppose you do find Eddie Brookleaf. What are you going to do, Herb?
What do you do with a rat who double-crosses you?
All right, suppose you kill him. Where does that leave Claire? Don't you see, Herb, the only decent thing you can do is take yourself out of Claire's life?
Look, Sam. Look, I'll tell you something, Sam. I've been laying awake nights thinking about it. That's why I haven't slipped away with Claire and married her. I don't know this instant just what I'm going to do, but look, if I should quietly disappear out of her life, I want you to promise me that you'll explain it to her. Tell her I just couldn't take it.
Ives, did you let that brother talk you into leaving her after she waited for you all the time you was in a clink?
Yeah, Phil, I just disappeared out of her life.
Well, if you ask me, I think you did right. She'd only have kept on nagging you to go straight.
Well, I went looking for Eddie. I panhandled my way out to the coast and back, hoping to meet up with him. Last night I saw him.
Where?
Coming out of a nightclub. Who do you think was with him?
Claire?
Yeah, Claire. They got into a taxi before I could get near him. Some night they'll go back to that nightclub again. I want to be there when they come out, too. That's why I've got to have a gun.
Before continuing with the Philip Morris Crime Doctor, every car owner faithfully taking care of his tires today knows that seemingly tiny differences bring tremendously important results. A small difference in air pressure or wheels set a tiny bit out of line can needlessly hasten the day when
Bam. No more tires, and no more use of your car. Yes, vast differences exist in your cigarettes, too. The proof of that comes not from us, but from a group of distinguished doctors who found that when smokers change to Philip Morris, substantially every case of irritation of the nose and throat due to smoking either cleared up completely or definitely improved. To the doctors of America, these findings were reported in a leading medical journal. Now, we do not claim curative powers for Philip Morris, but these findings certainly do scientifically prove Philip Morris are less irritating to the nose and throat. And so you enjoy not only finer flavor and fragrance, but in addition, extra protection. There is a difference that is highly important to you. Or, putting it another way, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And Philip Morris' superiority is recognized by eminent medical authorities. No other cigarette can make that statement. We now continue with the Philip Morris Crime Doctor.
I don't know what more I can do, Eddie. I've been to all of Herb's old friends. I found his married sister. None of them has heard a word from him. He disappeared as completely as you did, Eddie.
I don't know what more I can do, Claire. I've had private detectives searching for him. I've advertised in newspapers all over the country. You and I have visited every place in town where he might drop into. I don't know what else to do.
Only got word to me while Herb was still up in the big house.
I couldn't risk it. How did I know they weren't watching you? I had to wait 5 years before making a move. With no warrant out for me and no indictment against me, I'd have been crazy to take a chance before I was covered by the statute of limitations.
You mean they can't do anything to you now?
No. Not even if they got all the evidence in the world against me.
Funny, isn't it? Herb out looking for you and you looking for Herb.
Yeah. I often thought what he'd say when he found out that the 38 grand I was mining for him had now grown into 51,000.
For all we know, he may be flat broke.
Yeah. Or back in prison somewhere.
I hate to think about it.
See, look, Claire. The chances are all against our ever seeing Herb again. Let's think of us now. You and me. We both played fair with Herb. He may not even be alive.
I thought of that.
Claire. Let's look ahead. Here's a chance for both of us. I know I'm much older than you, but will you marry me?
Eddie. Please. Please, let's wait a little while.
All right, Claire, but you know how I feel.
I think we better be going now. I've got to be back at work tomorrow morning.
Oh, waiter.
Yes, sir?
My check, please.
Oh, yes, here it is, sir.
Here you are. Keep the change.
Oh, thank you, sir. Waiter.
You ready, dear?
Yes.
All right, let's go.
I'll run upstairs and get my coat.
While you're getting it, I'll get a taxi. It'll probably take a few minutes.
Well, I'll be waiting right here for you.
Oh, are you leaving, sir?
Yes, George. It was a good dinner.
Thank you.
Taxi. Hey, taxi.
Hey, mister. I haven't eaten since yesterday. Could you lend...
Hey, you moocher. Beat it away from here, I'll run you in. If I ever see you hanging around here again, I will run you in.
Wait right here a minute, taxi.
The driver. Remember me?
You back here mooching again. If that cop catches
you
around here...
I've been waiting for you to come back to the taxi stand. I wasn't mooching. The guy dropped the key when he came out of the restaurant. I was going to hand it back to him. You know where I could find him?
Oh, wait till I take a look at my sheet. Let's see. Here it is. He got out in front of 521 Hancock Place.
Okay. Thanks, mister.
do you want?
Well, you don't recognize me, huh?
Hey, you dirty double-crossing rat.
My men made a thorough search of the apartment, Dr. Ordway.
Mm-hmm.
The only clue they found was the name and address of a girl named Claire Beekman. So I've sent somebody out after her.
Where was the body lying when your officer got here, Inspector?
On the floor of this room, over near the door. Mm-hmm. The position indicated that the man was shot near the door and fell slantwise with his head towards the window facing the street over there.
I see.
And the gun was lying in the middle of the room, about 6 feet from the body.
How many shots were fired from it?
Only one, Dr. Ordway. Bullet went straight through the body. It was found in the room on the floor about, 4 feet from the body.
I see the apartment's on the ground floor.
Yeah, that's right. The assassin could have escaped either by the front or the rear window.
Well, he could have escaped through the door, couldn't he?
Yes, yes. The door was open when the policeman on the beat got here. He heard a shot and ran across the street. Saw a man coming out of the house. He stopped him and held him.
Yes?
I've got him in the next room. Some years ago, I sent him up for a robbery.
Oh?
We never did find out who his confederates were. Wait, I'll see who that is. Yes, Barkley.
Here's the girl, Inspector. Claire Beekman.
Oh. Come in, Miss Beekman.
This officer told me about Eddie.
Yes. I wanted to... Haven't I seen you before, Miss Beekman?
I was questioned at police headquarters once.
Oh. Dr. Ordway, do you happen to know this girl?
I don't think so.
Tell me, Miss Beekman, how did you come to be mixed up with the dead man, Eddie Brookleaf?
Well, I was with Eddie this evening.
Yes?
After dinner, he drove me home in a taxi. Dropped me at my house, and then he went on in the same taxi.
I
look,
see.
Inspector, how much longer are you going to keep me stuck away in there?
Hurt!
Oh, so you know this man, do you?
Oh, she don't know me, Inspector. I've never seen her before in my life.
Herb, you shouldn't have done it. Eddie was looking for you. He had your money. He did everything he could to find
you. I don't know what you're talking about.
You know very well what she's talking about, Herb. I remember now. She's the girl I questioned after your arrest. Let me see. Yes, more than 5 years ago.
No, Miss Beekman.
No, no, please, Doctor. I can't say anything more.
Herb, I remember you were released on parole. You violated your parole the first day you got out by not reporting to the parole board.
All right, Dr. Ordway. Send me back to serve the rest of my stretch. Nobody's going to pin a murder rap on me.
How did it happen that you were caught coming out of this house at the time of the shooting?
I told the inspector. I picked up a key that somebody dropped coming out of a nightclub. The taxi driver who took the man home told me who he was. I come up here to give him the key.
Did you know Eddie Brookleaf?
No, I didn't.
Miss Speakman, is that true?
Oh, please don't ask me anything more, Dr. Ordway.
We can wait until later, Dr. Ordway, before questioning her.
Very well, Inspector. Now, Herb, what happened after you got to the house?
Well, I started down the hallway towards the back to find the stairs going down to janitor's apartment. I wanted to describe the man who lost the key and asked the janitor if he could tell me who he was from the description.
Where is the key you found?
The inspector's got it.
That's right, but it doesn't fit any door in this apartment, Dr. Ordway.
Well, he might have been carrying the key to some other apartment.
That could be. Now, did you see the janitor?
No, I didn't. As I walked down the hall, the door to this apartment was suddenly open. The man, well, I didn't know at the time, but it turned out afterward that he was the one I come to see. He stood in the doorway and shouted to somebody in the room to get out of the place. Then I heard a shot, and I saw the man in the doorway lurch forward and fall on the floor. I heard footsteps running towards the back, and so I ran out of the house.
Herb, it couldn't possibly be, could it, that the dead man was your confederate in the crime for which you were sent to prison?
I told you at the time I was innocent. I was innocent.
I presume you also maintain you're innocent of the killing of Eddie Brookleaf.
I certainly do.
Did you see the man who you say shot him?
No, I didn't. He could have got out through the rear window, couldn't he?
Was there anyone besides you in the hallway at the time the shot was fired?
I didn't see nobody.
That's why you think the story you told can't be contradicted. But let me tell you, in making your explanation, you overlooked one piece of evidence that fastens the crime on you beyond the shadow of a doubt.
Ladies and gentlemen, in exactly 57 seconds, Dr. Ordway will be back to tell you the piece of evidence overlooked by the suspect. In the meantime, I don't remember who said it is always darkest just before the day dawneth, but I want to borrow that thought for a moment for your comfort and for our own. We know you can't get Philip Morris every time you ask for them. Perhaps not yesterday or today, but perhaps tomorrow you will. Just remember, Philip Morris is still America's finest cigarette. Remember, too, that billions of Philip Morris are going where both you and we want them to go, to our fighting men and women around the world, a contribution you gladly make to bring a little comfort to some American overseas. And the day is coming when again you can have and enjoy Philip Morris to your heart's content. So join Johnny's call for Philip Morris, made by Americans for Americans to suit American taste. Philip Morris, America's finest popular price cigarette. We now return you to Dr. Ordway, the Philip Morris crime doctor.
Now, you said, Dr. Ordway, that this suspect, Herb, overlooked one little detail that fastens the crime on him.
Yes, Inspector. He admitted that he was the only one in the hallway when the shot was fired.
I told you. It was fired by somebody in the room.
That's the little detail you overlooked, Herb. By your own admission, you saw Eddie standing in the doorway.
Yeah.
The bullet that went through his body was found in the room, 4 feet from where the dead man was lying. If he had been shot from the room, the bullet would have been found in the hallway. No, Herb, he was shot by someone outside the apartment as he opened the door, and that's why the bullet was found in the room.
Now look, Inspector.
Now, hold it, Herb, hold it. My duty to warn you, anything you say may be used against you, because I'm holding you on suspicion of murder.
This is Johnny again, returning now to the thousands of store windows and counters all over America. Look for me. I'll be waiting for you. Come in and call for Philip Murray.
Goodbye, Johnny. We'll be seeing you in the windows and on the counters during the week and hearing you over this same station next Sunday at this same time. Be sure to tune in next week for another of Max Martin's thrilling crime doctor dramas, brought to you by Philip Morris. All names and characters used on this program are fictitious, and any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. It's happening all over America. Thousands who never smoked pipes before are turning to Revelation. It's a pipe tobacco you can inhale. You can inhale it just like cigarettes. Try Revelation in a pipe. So mild, cool, and gentle. Ask for Revelation. Only 15 cents. Johnny presents the Philip Morris program 3 times weekly. Tuesday, Ginny Sims. Friday, It Pays to Be Ignorant. Sunday, The Philip Morris Crime Doctor. For time and station, consult your local paper. There are 4 concrete ways you can help fight inflation and keep prices down on everything you wear, eat, and use. Buy only what you need. Pay only stealing prices, yet pay ration points in full. Keep your own prices down. Buy and hold war bonds, just 4 small things. Yet they mean so much toward helping win the war and helping your pocketbook. This is Ken Roberts saying goodnight for Philip Morris. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
If you're enjoying this episode, please don't forget to leave a 5-star rating and to share the podcast with others.
Tonight's story, A Force Called X-07, starring Mr. Moto, Mr. I.A. Moto.
I stood there in a room in Bellevue Hospital in New York beside the young doctor. We watched the patient on the bed with a sort of stunned, incredible horror. The woman's condition was so fantastic as to defy all reason. She had grown visibly smaller in the past quarter hour. Her body was not that of a woman, but of a child. The young doctor's fists were clenched around the foot of the iron hospital bed.
Mr. Moto, this is unbelievable.
Yes.
I can't stand it. It's sickening.
Yes.
What's happened to her? What's caused this?
A 1,000 apologies, Doctor, but this is a secret which must be kept at all costs. The assignment on X-07 started with a personal phone call last Saturday. I had just completed a case in Cairo for U.S. intelligence and had returned to New York for a rest and a holiday. I wanted nothing so much as I wanted quiet. I was annoyed when my phone rang at 10 in the evening. I was already in bed. Hello?
Mr. Moto?
Yes?
Moto, it's Howard Carlton here.
Why, Professor Carlton, I've been in Europe, and I've been meaning to call you ever since I returned, but...
Moto, can I see you tonight? There's an entrance into Central Park at 50th... There's an entrance into Central Park at 5th Avenue and 90th Street. Can you be there in half an hour?
You mean outside, in this weather?
Please, Moto, I know what I'm doing. This is desperately urgent.
Then, of course, I'll meet you anywhere you say.
5th Avenue and 90th Street, the entrance to the park, in half an hour.
Right. Can't you give me any idea of what... Hello? Hello? Who is there can make muddy water clear? But if left alone, it will become clear of itself. Professor Howard Carlton was head of the physics department of one of the greatest universities in the world. I met him first in Hong Kong many years ago, and I think I can say we each treasured each other's friendship. I took a cab to 5th Avenue and 90th Street. Drizzling rain made murky globs of the streetlights. At my right stretched the park, barren, deserted, and so very dark. The occasional taxi hurried by, as if anxious to get away from the black wetness of the night. Suddenly, out of the mist, I recognized Howard Carlton's massive body. He was wearing a raincoat, and his hat was pulled down over his face. His walk suggested one thing. Fear.
I say, Moto, this is awfully decent of you.
Howard, what is this all about? Why must we meet outside in this wretched weather? Surely there must be... Wait. What is it?
I may have been followed. Let's go out into the park a bit. We can sit on one of the benches there.
You are afraid, aren't you?
Yes.
Of what?
Specifically, being murdered.
Murdered? By whom?
A man who's blackmailing me.
Blackmailing you?
Quite successfully.
With what?
Something I did once. Can we sit down here?
Suppose you start at the beginning.
Motor.
What is it?
I thought I saw someone. I'm afraid I'm in a complete funk. Have you ever heard of the Michelson-Manley experiment?
Never.
Well, as you know, I'm not only head of the physics department at the university. I'm also in charge of the Manhattan Atomic Research Foundation.
Yes.
Some time ago, as you may have read in the papers, there was a 2,200-ton cosmotron completed at the Brookhaven National Laboratory. A 2-billion-volt atom smasher. Its fuse out a beam of hydrogen atoms traveling at the speed of light. This beam is directed like a searchlight, so to speak, into the interiors of heavier atoms. The cosmotron at Brookhaven is, shall we say, the climax of man's struggle to harness the power of matter.
We are here perhaps to discuss physics?
I'm trying to say that we've invented a weapon.
We?
My assistant and I.
At the foundation?
Yes. An atomic weapon. Dr. Bradley, he's my assistant, started working with a degenerate form of radium known as radium E some 10 years ago. It was to be a cure for cancer. The Atomic Energy Commission realized it had other possibilities. Only Dr. Bradley and I worked on the final phase of it. Now we've finished.
Go on.
Well, the weapon... It's very simple. It's portable, light, and so deadly. It's like having a thousandth part of an atom bomb in a light bulb. Only George Bradley and I are in possession of the complete plans. And now I'm being blackmailed.
For what?
27 years ago at Oxford University, I joined the Communist Party.
I see.
In those days, communism was rather fashionable. I talk the usual nonsense of an undergraduate, and then as one must, if one has any maturity at all, I grew out of it. I forgot it. I got into science. I also forgot something else.
What?
I forgot to resign from the party officially. A man named Sergei Belenkov threatens me with exposure. I am either to turn over the secret of X-07 to him.
Meaning to Russia?
Yes. Or be exposed as a member of the English Communist Party.
And is there any choice?
My dear chap, of course there's no choice. I told Belenkov to do as he liked, that I was going to the FBI.
And?
He's tried to kill me 3 times in the last 48 hours.
I see.
Now, there's where you come in. I want to go to Washington. X-07 must be dealt with on the highest level. Your job's to see that I get to Washington alive. Nobody knows we met tonight. Get 2 tickets on a plane to Washington tomorrow afternoon. I shall call you in the morning from a police station somewhere. And now, for heaven's sake, give me a cigarette.
Yes, of course. Here.
Thanks.
Isn't there some way we can do this without ruining your career?
X-07 is more important than a career, mine or anybody else's. Have you a match?
I have a lighter somewhere. Yes, here it is.
Thanks.
Howard. Howard, your hand.
Put out that lighter. It's just the first finger. It was exposed to X-07 in an experiment. I shall have it amputated.
The weapon is capable of that.
My dear fellow, that's what I'm telling you. X-07 makes the atom bomb as obsolete as a sailing ship. That's why.
Howard! From somewhere in the darkness of the park, a bullet brought instant death to one of the most brilliant minds of our generation. Howard Carlton fell forward to the wet, cold pavement. I took his right hand in mine and felt the tiny, hard, withered forefinger. The finger, not of a man, but of a baby. My first impulse was to call the police. Then I thought better of it. Nothing could bring back the life, and there was too much at stake to risk publicity. I left my friend unattended in death and hurried home to my apartment. This is Mr. Moto calling Intelligence G2, and I want private line 825L4, please. Thank you. Hello, Captain Yates. I have some orders. Wire Washington and get me everything on a man named Sergei Velenkov. Right. Also do a fast routine check on a Dr. George Bradley, who works at the Manhattan Atomic Research Foundation. Correct? I will be in your office tomorrow morning at 9:30. I would like this information to be there, too. Thank you, Captain Yates. Truly, the security of the state rests in the hearts of its citizens.
The dossier on Velenkov was airmailed from Washington last night, Mr. Moto.
Thank you, Captain Yates.
George Bradley's file is negative. He was registered and fingerprinted when he started working with Professor Carlton. He's 38, a PhD in physics, author of several papers on the treatment of cancer by radium and X-rays.
His address?
819 East 75th Street.
I imagine he would be at home on Sunday morning, don't you?
Want us to bring him in?
No. Captain Yates, the window of a man's soul is clearest in his own house. I will go to him.
Okay, have it your own way. Anything else for me to do?
There may be. After I have a Sunday morning chat with Dr. Bradley, in his own house. You are Dr. Bradley?
Yes.
I am Mr. Moto. Mr. I.A. Moto. Central Intelligence. May I have a moment of your time?
Well, certainly. Come in.
Thank you so much.
Sit down, won't you?
You are most kind. The crossword puzzle in the Times. A so stimulating pastime for agile brain.
Sometimes mine isn't agile enough. I've given up on this one.
I am glad to see that you are neither rare, like jade, nor common, like stone. I shall trust you. I believe you work with Professor Howard Carlton.
I do.
Do you know that he is a communist?
What?
Yes.
Well, you're joking.
No, no.
I don't believe it.
Disbelieving the truth will not make it any less true, Dr. Bradley. I believe you have invented a weapon called XO7.
Do you mean he told you? Why, is he out of his mind?
My dear Dr. Bradley, I am working for U.S. intelligence.
But XO7 is absolutely top secret.
I know that.
Then why ask me? It is a weapon. The simplest and most deadly weapon man has ever found, and I hate it.
Indeed? Why?
Because I hate war.
Ah, yes. Quite so. Tell me, have you ever heard of a man named Sergei Velenkov?
No. Why?
He was blackmailing Professor Carlton.
Why?
He is blackmailing Professor Carlton. If you either meet or get a letter from a man of this name, you will get in touch with me at once.
Certainly.
Velenkov. Remember it.
Yes, I will.
Thank you so much for seeing me.
Well, I'm afraid it hasn't been of much use, but you're welcome.
Sometimes one allows oneself to do things purely because they are pleasant. Good morning, Dr. Bradley.
Velenkov! Velenkov, you can come down now.
He's gone?
Yes, come downstairs.
Most of the conversation I could hear, and it reassures me.
I never met a communist yet who didn't have a blind spot. That little man is as dangerous as a cake of nitroglycerin.
But George...
Shut up, let me think. Yes. I'm sure he knows Carlton is dead. He said was blackmailing Professor Carlton. He said was, not is. He used the past tense. You're sure Carlton wasn't alone when you shot him?
I posit.
Then Moto was with him.
To see was an impossibility. It was only since Carlton lit a cigarette I could shoot at all.
Oh, we shouldn't have killed him.
But Georgie, he with his own words told me he would report our little blackmail to the FBI.
We could have done something, locked him up. Listen.
Yes?
The plans for XO7 are already on microfilm.
Yes.
Then have the operation now. This surgeon, can you trust him?
He's high in the party.
Well, that's no recommendation. So are you.
Georgie, I will not allow you the insult.
You do as you're told. You know why I'm doing this. I'm doing this to try to stop a war. Whether I'm right or wrong, you'll do things my way or not at all.
Of course, Georgie. There is no need for the temper, the anger.
Get your surgeon to come to the house tonight if he can. Unless you get out of America in 48 hours, you won't get out at all. What's this operation involve?
It is of the most simplicity. The microfilm plans are placed in a sterile plastic capsule. Inside my body, the capsule is secreted. There is no danger. But there is also none of the ridiculousness of customs. One cannot, after all, declare an appendicitis.
When will you be able to travel?
In 4 days.
2 days?
No.
Look, Velenkov, the American eagle may not be as bad-tempered as the Russian bear, but if you ruffle his feathers once too often, he'll claw your guts out and throw them in your face. The eagle's mad now, so don't take any chances. It's got to be 2 days. Today is Sunday. Now, on Tuesday night, you'll take off to Rio. Once in Rio, you can make your own plans for getting to Paris and then to East Berlin.
Tuesday, I will still have the pain from the walking.
We'll just be a big, brave communist and you manage. I intend to give New York a little demonstration of XO7 a couple of hours after you take off. It'll kill a few thousand people, but the rest will stop and think. Now get that surgeon over here to open up your fat belly.
Sometimes I wonder, Georgie, if we are friends.
Don't wonder anymore. We're not.
Please, no hard words. Come and eat the chachi. I made it myself with wine.
Come in. Mr. Moto, I didn't expect you back this morning.
I have just been to Dr. Bradley's house, Captain Yates. Did the dossier on Velenkov arrive?
Yeah, just after you left. Here.
Ah, thank you. Alexei Sergei Velenkov, born 1899, Magnitogorsk, Russia. Father Russian, mother Egyptian. Wait.
What?
But of course I should have known.
Huh?
Captain Yates, I want 3 men to guard Bradley's house on 75th Street 24 hours a day, beginning this moment.
Mind telling me why?
Let us say it is a suspicion of the Oriental mind.
Nuts. You were born and brought up in San Francisco. You're as American as I am, so don't try being Eastern mysterious. Not with me.
The bluntness of the oak is more to be admired than the sharpness of the sickle.
Meaning I'm dumb?
No, no, my friend, not at all. I want guards on Bradley's house for 2 reasons. One, I think he knows Carlton is dead. I made a remark to the effect that Carlton was being blackmailed. Bradley picked me up on the 10th, is being blackmailed, he said. Since the Carlton murder has been kept absolutely secret, how would Dr. Bradley know?
That checks. What's the other reason?
Chachi.
Again, please?
Cabbage soup.
Cabbage soup?
When cabbage soup is made with sauterne, it becomes chachi. It is practically a national dish where Valenkov was born. Magnitogorsk is famous for it. Like a circus for hot dogs. I smelt chachi in Dr. Bradley's house. I suspect that Sergei Valenkov will be arriving soon for luncheon.
And if he does?
Arrest him.
On what charge?
With suspicion of murder.
Anything else?
Detain anyone entering or leaving the Bradley house. Bring them down here for questioning.
Including Bradley?
No, no. Let him go and come as he pleases.
Right. That all?
You will be so kind, Captain Yates, as to report to me at my apartment tomorrow at noon. Come in, Yates. The door is unlocked.
Well, here I am, right on the dot of noon.
Punctuality, Captain, is the virtue of the strong. Now, what about this surgeon?
Well, he went to Bradley's house last night. He was in there almost 2 hours. Mm-hmm. We picked him up when he left. He seems to be on the level. Bradley has migraine headaches.
Indeed.
The funny thing is, the surgeon guy wants to go to jail.
Why?
I don't know. At first, he refused to come down for questioning. My man got a little insistent. The surgeon took a swing at him, so we booked him now for assault and resisting a police officer in the line of duty. He doesn't want bail. He says he'll arrange for bail Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning?
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Search me.
Captain Yates, a man who will not fight injustice is hiding guilt.
Could be. Bradley went out this morning at 8 o'clock. He came back at 10:45 carrying a large package.
You did not molest him.
You said not to.
You were right. Now, I must do some thinking. I would almost trade the honor of my ancestors to know what is going on in Bradley's house at this moment.
Georgie, will you stop working on that thing?
Shut up, Valenko.
Sometimes I think you have the insanity.
Think what you like.
But why don't they know about the Carlton murder at the foundation? You go down this morning, you bring home this machine of hell, and no one says nothing.
I invented it, remember? There. Ready. Plug it in and switch it on.
Will you stop? I have the agony, the pain. The wound will never heal enough for travel tomorrow night. They want the 7 stitches. I tell you, I...
You'll be all right.
You're crazy. Crazy!
No, I'm not. It will kill several thousand people with this machine tomorrow night, but I'm not crazy. I'll be shot, electrocuted, maybe even lynched. But I'll teach the world a lesson it'll never forget. Anyway, you don't need to worry. You'll be on a plane halfway to Rio. Let me in, quick. This case is crazy. Crazy. Valenkov came out of Bradley's house an hour ago. He must have been there all the time. I followed him to LaGuardia, nabbed him on the Air France reservation desk. He pulled a gun on me and I socked him. In the stomach.
Is
he... Makes me sick thinking about it. My fist darn near went... He had some sort of operation. We got an ambulance, came back to town on the East River Drive. When we passed 75th Street where Bradley's house is, Valenkov went nuts. Started babbling about a machine, XO something.
Go on.
Well, he died of fright. Why in the ambulance he died of fright?
I am a fool. I am an idiot, son of 1,000 idiots. You will drive me at once to Bradley's house.
Listen, Mr. Motor.
No, you will listen. XO7 is a weapon. The deadliest weapon man has ever known. In the name of 10,000 heavens, don't stand there gaping at me. We haven't a moment to lose. I will go in alone to Bradley's house. You, in the meantime, will follow certain directions to the letter.
Am I to understand? understand, Mr. Moto, that you have deliberately walked into the mouth of the dragon?
Yes.
Why?
Because I know what you are going to do.
Don't move. X-07 is rather flexible. It can be made as directional as a searchlight. The meson beam is pointed straight at your body. All I have to do is flick this switch. And to get out of the way, you would have to move with the speed of light.
I have no intention of moving, Dr. Bradley.
You mystify me, Mr. Moto. You ring my doorbell and announce with that inscrutable oriental calm that you want to watch the test. How did you know there was to be a test? If you don't keep your hands on your knees where I can see them, I'll kill you. You don't seem to understand what this is. This is X-07. Small, portable, simple. This is the filament. Radium E. Heavy hydrogen in the cathode is in this tube here. The meson beep is very weak, but it can split the hydrogen atom.
Meaning?
Why do you keep looking at your watch? Are the police waiting outside? Do you think they can rush in with guns and stop me?
I realize now that they cannot.
Then relax, but keep your hands on your knees. The multiple tube is now pointing straight down through Mrs. Hanley's apartment. It takes a moment to warm up.
Bradley, in the name of heaven!
Exactly, in the name of heaven. Mr. Moto, when a human being is sprayed with my invisible meson beam, the water in the body is broken up. A proton in the hydrogen atom is shot free of its nucleus. The water in the body becomes oxygen and hydrogen atoms. You evaporate, you shrivel, you dry up. You become a shriveled, hard, dry little calcium doll about 3 feet long.
A death ray.
The dream of inventors for centuries. I will give it to America. Belenkov has taken it to Russia tonight. As a lesson, I shall exterminate a few thousand people. Everyone within a radius of a mile, to be precise. And bricks and steels are no protection. 20 feet of lead is the only thing that will stop it. Poor Mrs. Hanley.
Mrs. Hanley?
She sleeps directly under where I'm standing. She was a rather nice woman.
Dr. Bradley, I am...
No! War needs to be brought home to us here. So a few thousand die, perhaps millions will be saved. I think Russia will be afraid to start anything, too. The tube is hot now. I'm going to start moving it slowly from side to side. You'd better stand over in that corner. The light! The power! Somebody's turned off the power!
I must ask that you keep quite still, Dr. Bradley.
Well, Mr. Moto, that wraps it up. Bradley will be tried for the murder of Mrs. Hanley. And he'll fry.
Just the same, Captain Yates. He had quite an idea. An idea you frustrated by obeying my instructions to have the power company cut off electric service to all of Eastside Manhattan.
Bradley was nuts.
No, Captain Yates. He had an ideal. Warped, perhaps, but of some merit. And he really didn't give the secret of X-07 to Russia.
Thanks to us getting the link.
No. Bradley couldn't really be a traitor. He only wanted us to believe Russia had it, hoping our fear would make us more careful. I examined the microfilm which the coroner removed from Valenkov's body. It was overexposed. It was completely useless.
You have just heard the world's greatest international detective philosopher, Mr. I.A. Moto, in A Force Called X-07. James Monk starred as Mr. Moto. The script was written and directed by Harry W. Duncan. Others in the cast were Peter Capell, John Larkin, Gavin Gordon, and Scott Tennyson. The music was transcribed. This is Fred Collins speaking, and here with a preview of next week's story is Mr. Moto.
Yuzi has written, "He who renounces fame has no sorrow." Next week, a story that proves the words of the sage. A story of fame and tragedy concerning a flight from Istanbul. And now, may I wish you a good night, blessed with sleep, charmed with contentment.
Official detective, dedicated to the men who guard your safety and protect your home, your police department. Official Detective, presented by the Mutual Broadcasting System in cooperation with Official Detective Stories magazine, and starring Craig McDonald as Detective Lieutenant Dan Britt.
Lieutenant Dan Britt, headquarters. Positive identification of a murderer by a witness who was at the scene of the crime is probably the best kind of evidence the police can hope for. But identification can work two ways. It can be positive or deadly negative.
Hogan's Tavern, that joint over there?
Yeah, Delma. Come on.
There's a roaring business. Nobody inside.
It's fine. After you, darling. Remember, don't touch the glasses. Let it sit there.
Yeah, I know.
Howdy, folks.
Hi.
A nice night, huh?
Great.
A little warm, though.
That's why we came in.
What'll it be?
Beer.
Two beers.
Coming up.
What's the time?
Near 10.
You'll be along soon.
Kramer's batting pretty good this year.
So far.
Who's Kramer?
She don't follow baseball.
You folks are new around here, aren't you?
Yeah.
I like to meet new customers.
I'll be in from time to time.
Good.
You know Monk Sobey?
Monk? Sure, he drops in here every night, just about this time. Friend of yours?
In a way.
Monk's a great guy. Hey, it's almost 10 o'clock. He usually gets here by 10.
Fine.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Kramer's doing all right. You know, when he pulled his shoulder last year, everybody...
Got anything to eat?
Huh?
Something to eat. We're hungry.
Well, sure, anything you want.
Sandwich?
What kind?
What do you got?
Ham, cheese, tuna fish salad, hamburger.
Two hamburgers.
With or without?
With, both with.
Sure.
And make them well done, huh?
Coming right up.
I was wondering if you were going to get rid of him.
Sobey just parked his car across the street.
You sure?
It's coming over now.
I just hope Baseball Joe doesn't come out again and start trouble.
This won't take long. Turn your head away from the door.
Yeah.
You didn't touch that glass, did you?
Of course not.
Okay, get set.
Hey, Hogan, shut him up. I'm thirsty.
Hold him
up.
Nick!
Come on, Delmer.
What's going on out here? Good Lord. Where's that telephone? Hello. Hello, operator. Give me the police, quick!
Yeah, take care of that right away. Say, the morgue basket's here, Lieutenant.
Okay, Al. What about those glasses on the bar?
No prints. They were never touched.
Mm-hmm. Match, Al?
Yeah, coming up.
Thanks. Where's Hogan?
Over there.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm Lieutenant Britt, Hogan.
Yeah?
This is Sergeant Bowen.
Howdy. What's the story?
Well, I was in the kitchen making hamburgers for him, see?
Start from the beginning.
Well... They came in about 5 minutes to 10.
Who?
Well, the guy and the dame.
Know them?
No, I never saw them before.
Uh-huh. And what did they look like?
Well, the dame was a looker. Blonde. With a shape. The guy's short, dark, with blue eyes, I think.
You'd recognize them if you saw them again?
Oh, sure, sure.
Uh-huh. Keep going.
Well, they ordered beers, and we chewed the rag for a while. Then they asked if I knew Sobey. I said, yeah, he ought to be here soon. Then they wanted hamburgers, and I went back to the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Then Sobey came in while I was in there. I heard the shots. I come running out. The guy and the dame is gone, and Sobey's lying on the floor full of lead.
Any names? Did you hear them call each other by name?
No.
That all?
Yeah, that's all.
Okay, Hogan. Thanks for the information. Now we'll have you into headquarters in the morning. Sergeant Bone will put you through the files. Show you a lot of pictures.
Yeah, sure.
That's all for tonight.
Well, I hope I'll be able to help you, Lieutenant.
I hope so, too. Al.
Yeah?
Get a call out on Nick Fasano.
Nick Fasano?
That's right. He's had it in for Sobey a long time. Sobey welched on a gambling debt. Never mind the descriptions Hogan gave us.
Hogan, how's the world treating you?
What? Back up. Wait a minute.
Back up.
What do you want?
What did you tell the cop?
Nothing.
Come on. I wasn't born yesterday.
It was the day before.
Shut up, Delma. What did you tell the cops, Hogan?
The cops?
What did you tell them? You give them a description of us?
No.
Get it out, Hogan. Let's
All right,
have
let go, will you? Let go.
Spill.
I told him it was a blonde dame.
Good. Delma's a redhead.
And a guy, short and dark.
All right, that's enough. Good enough.
But I didn't tell him anything else. I don't know anything else. I don't even know your
Shut
name.
Shut up. Now, look, Hogan. I'm going to play square with you. I want you to play square with me, understand?
Yeah, sure.
They'll probably get you down to headquarters tomorrow.
Yeah, they said...
I am talking. They might have me down there, too. Now, if it should just happen, they ask you if you ever seen me before, or Delma, what are you going to say, Hogan? Well, what's your answer going to be?
I never seen you. Never.
Good boy. Smart boy. Because if you come up with the wrong answer, Hogan, you'll regret it.
Listen,
I'm not finished. I got a big organization behind me, Hogan. Very big. If I get crossed, they'll take care of you. Straight?
Yeah, sure.
They'll take care of you. They'll take care of your whole family, one by one. Got a brother?
Yeah.
They'll take care of him, too. They'll take care of him. Your sister, your mother, father, everybody, the whole clan. Remember that, Hogan. It's not only you. It's the whole family tree.
Well, don't worry, I...
Good. We'll say goodnight now, Hogan.
Yeah, sure, Nick.
What? Sure what?
I'm sorry. It was a slip.
Don't ever make a slip like that again.
What's my name?
I don't know.
It's Delma, isn't it?
I don't know.
Ever seen me before?
No, I never seen you before.
That's
the spirit, Hogan. Keep on like that, and you don't have anything to worry about. Play it smart, you'll end up living. Play it dumb, you end up dead. In the family plot. Remember? 99.
Sit down, Hogan.
Oh, thank you, Lieutenant.
Well, did Sergeant Bone show you anything interesting from the files?
I didn't recognize any of the faces.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe you'll be able to tell better if you meet them face to face.
Face to face.
I've got a couple of people outside. When I bring them in, I don't want you to say a word. Just look at them. And look hard, understand?
Yeah, I understand, Lieutenant.
And don't make any mistakes.
Sure.
Okay, Sandy, send them in. Sit down, Fasano.
Listen, Britt.
Sit down and shut up.
Just a minute.
You too, miss.
You got manners, ain't you?
Quiet. Now, turn your heads toward the window.
What?
Go on. Now back the other way.
Listen, who's this guy?
Shut up. Now face the wall. Hold it there. Look over this way now. All right, get up.
Hey, what's this all about, Britt?
Get up and keep your mouth closed. Come on. Wait outside. Hold him, Sandy.
Punish for what? Don't we even get let in on what's...
See you later. Well, Hogan?
No.
No?
No. Those aren't the people.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure, Lieutenant.
Maybe you ought to take another look. Fasano and
Sobel... That wasn't them. Besides, that dame had red hair. The girl last night was a blonde.
Never mind the hair. What about the face?
No.
All right, forget the girl. Maybe you had another dame with him last night.
Well, that isn't the guy.
Don't put me on a spot, Hogan. And yourself.
I'm telling you the truth, Lieutenant. I swear.
You better be telling the truth. Okay, Sandy, let him go.
I am sorry, Lieutenant.
Beat it, Hogan.
But I...
Beat it.
I still think you're making a mistake.
Why?
Hogan, you're taking too much of a chance on him. He's liable to break and spill the whole story to the cops.
Well, he hasn't broken yet.
Well, that doesn't mean he won't. Long as he's alive, he's dangerous. You should have sent him along with Sobey last night.
It's not the way I planned it.
If you got a plan, I don't get
don't
it.
Don't be so stupid.
Listen, you don't...
Listen, baby. If we'd have killed Hogan last night, we would have thrown our alibi right out of the window.
Alibi?
Sure. The cops know Sobey and me didn't get along. Now, if Hogan would be dead with Sobey, they'd find me and book me on suspicion. Work a case up. But Hogan's alive, see? He saw the whole thing, or at least he saw the guy who done it. So they think they got positive identification. But when they bring me in front of Hogan, he says no. Where can you find a better alibi than that?
He's still dangerous. As long as he's alive, he's dangerous.
I get it. We got him scared.
Look, Nick, he served his purpose. He told the cops he never saw you before, so what do you need him around
for? All right,
for?
Leave off, will you? I'll think it over.
What about the girl's hair? Red versus blonde.
She might have dyed it. Or Fasano might have had another girl with him at the tavern.
Then you think Hogan was lying?
Yes, I do think so.
Funny. Seemed like an honest guy.
Al, sometimes honesty can be like merchandise. It can be bought and sold.
What do you want, Fasano?
Little talk.
We ran out of conversation at home.
Look, I'm busy now.
Start getting unbusy. Come on, Demo.
Look, I didn't tell the cops.
Yeah, I know. You're going someplace?
What?
Looks like you've been packing.
A little trip.
Where?
Out of town.
Why?
Because I feel like
best
it.
Best way to tip the cops, take a powder.
Look, Fasano, don't tell me what to do. I'm through listening
shut
to
up.
You.
Shut up.
Hey, what's this?
What's what?
This letter.
Hey, keep your hands off that.
I said shut up.
It's addressed to Brett at headquarters.
What do you know? Open it, Delmer.
Hey, wait.
Quiet.
Wait.
What's it say, Delmer?
Plenty. Nick Fasano. He's put the whole story down in writing. Says he's going to hole up at the Metropole Hotel until Britt picks you and me up and is able to give him protection.
Metropole Hotel, huh?
I told you he was dangerous.
You were so right. You got a car, Hogan?
Why?
Never mind why.
He's downstairs.
We're going for a little ride, but not to the Metropole Hotel.
Why the car?
I want to do this job where there aren't any witnesses and nobody can hear the shot.
Fasano, listen, Fasano, will you?
Let's go, Hogan, huh? And Delma, don't forget to take that letter.
Lieutenant Britt.
Bowen, Lieutenant.
Tim?
Adams just found Hogan's car parked on Jersey Street.
So what, is that news?
Hogan's in it, dead like a pigeon.
Jersey Street?
Between 1st and Avenue A.
I'll be right over.
Okay,
Who's brushing the carpet prints, Al?
Henderson. He says it looks like it's been wiped.
Most probably. You find anything else?
Only this.
What is it?
Strand of hair, human hair, on the front seat beside Hogan.
Let me see.
Yeah. You see, it's red.
Yeah. Better get it into the lab.
Check. Hi, Lieutenant.
Hello, Al. What's the news?
The lab boys put that strand of hair through all the tests. It was dyed.
Original color blonde?
Yeah.
Good.
Sure, but that's all we've got so far. Not a very good case.
We've got more.
Huh?
I went up to Hogan's apartment this morning. Found this.
Uh-huh. Envelope. Addressed to you. Well, what was in it?
That's the point. Nothing.
Prints on it?
All smears.
Oh. Well, what's your theory?
This. Hogan became conscience-stricken. Wrote me a letter explaining the whole thing. But Fasano found the letter before Hogan mailed it.
Yeah?
That's why he killed Hogan. Took the letter with him, but forgot the envelope.
Well, sounds reasonable, but it'll be hard to prove.
We can work the letter angle.
Oh.
Fasano and the girl have never met you. They don't know you're on the case.
Oh. Got a job for me?
Yes, Al. A tough job.
Sit down, Mr. Braun.
Thanks.
Fix your drink?
I'd rather not.
You said on the phone you had a business deal.
I have.
What is it? What is the deal?
Anybody around?
Anybody?
In the next room.
Oh, it's empty.
Nick's not here, huh?
Nick?
Don't stall me around, sweetheart. I know about you and Fasano.
You do?
Well, I'm not a PI for nothing.
PI, what's that?
Private investigator.
A cop?
Kind of a cop. I was also a personal friend of Art Hogan's.
Who's he?
A corpse, as if you didn't know.
Listen, what's this all about?
You still got the letter?
What letter?
Hogan came to me for advice after you and Nick put the squeeze on him. I told him he'd have to make up his own mind, and he finally did. Then he told me about the letter he wrote to Britt. But Britt never got that letter because you and Nick got it first. That's why you killed Hogan.
You're crazy.
Maybe. You still got the letter?
What letter?
It must be worth a lot of dough.
Suppose I did have it. How much is it worth?
Well, nothing to me, but a lot to you. If you take my advice and let me help you.
Go on.
The two of us together. You and me, baby. Could milk Nick for plenty. 10, maybe 20 grand, and that's not feed for poultry.
You mean blackmail Nick?
Why not?
I like living too much.
You gotta gamble once in a while, baby. 20 grand on one side of the coin, your life on the other. But I have an idea the coin would turn up in our favor. That is, if you let me handle it. I've done these things before. Well, what do you say, sweetheart?
I'll have to think it over.
Think fast.
Then I'd have to get the letter from Nick. He's got it.
Well, you can handle that, can't you?
Come on up here tonight about 10.
You'll have the letter?
Sure, I'll have it.
You and I are going to get along fine, sweetheart. Just fine.
I'll see you later.
Lieutenant Britt.
Bowen.
How'd it go?
Smooth. Very smooth.
Good. How'd you leave it?
I'm going back to her place tonight at 10.
What's the address?
1257 Gedney.
Okay, Al. Good luck.
Thanks.
Coming. Come in.
Got the letter?
Sure. It was like taking candy from a baby.
Good. Let me have it.
What's your hurry? Have a drink.
No, thanks. Where's the letter?
I've got it right here.
Hmm. Uh-huh.
Doesn't it suit you?
Yeah. Suits me fine. It's all here.
Well, now let's have a drink.
Sweetheart. Not now. I've got other things to do.
Like what?
Fasano!
Reach, Bowen, reach. That's the boy. Now, let me have that lit up.
Sure.
Thanks.
Well, what's the angle?
No angle. I just don't like guys who try to blackmail me, that's all.
What are you going to do?
What do you think?
Think twice, Fasano.
About what?
About all the cops outside.
Don't tell me you brought all the private eyes of the city with you.
I work for the city. And the boys with me work for the city, too. Take a look out the window, Delmer.
Sure. And he's not kidding. There's a patrol car downstairs and a couple of guys standing around.
Rick! Same to you, Fasano.
Shut up.
You can't win, punk. You're trapped.
Nuts. Not as long as I got you.
Turn around. Don't try to use me as a shield, Fasano. That won't stop the boys.
Shut up. Now start walking through that door.
Okay, okay. But it won't get you any place.
You with me, Delmer?
Right with you, Nick.
Good girl, open the door. Okay, Bowen, march. Hold it right there, Fasano.
I'm warning you, Britt. One move out of you and your stooge here gets shut up.
And you too.
I'll take my chances.
Any time, Lieutenant.
Hell. Drop. Get that girl, Adams. You all right, Al?
Oh, yeah. I'm just fine. What about Nick?
Wait a second.
Letters in his pocket.
Here's a pincher for the girl.
You got a match?
Huh?
Give me a match, will you? I need a butt to steady my nerves.
Sure, Al. Anything to oblige.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben, toss a match over here, pronto.
You've just heard Official Detective, tense dramatic stories of criminal investigation, starring Craig McDonald as Detective Lieutenant Dan Britt. Official Detective is presented by the Mutual Broadcasting System in cooperation with Official Detective Stories magazine. If you've enjoyed this story, you'll find many more stories of equal appeal in our June issue, now on sale at your newsstand. Also in the book, Official Detective Omnibus, published by Jewel Sloan and Pierce. Connie Evans was heard as Sergeant Al Bowen, Delma was Eileen Palmer, Nick was played by Joe DeSantis, and Hogan was Louis Van Ruten. Official Detective is produced and directed by Win Wright and written by William K. Wells, Jr., with special music by Chet Kingsbury. Jack O'Reilly speaking. All names of persons and places used in this program are fictitious. Any resemblance to names of actual persons living or dead is coincidental. This program came from New York. Next, there's 5 minutes of news reported by Bill Henry over most of these stations, and then your top mysteries for Tuesday continue with a dashing John Steele adventurer, the spine-tingling, mysterious traveler. Be sure to stay tuned over most of these stations, and then you'll agree, Mutual is tops for mystery on Tuesday. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Thank you again for listening, and please don't forget to follow, review, rate, and share.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.